And Bible study. I do know that this Bible study is going to be a great blessing to you because it was a great blessing to me as I was studying it. Before we jump into the Word of God, I would that we breathe the word of prayer. Every head bow, please pause where you are as we pray. Father, again, I'm grateful for the greatness of your grace and mercy. Please, dear Father, speak to us through your word. We will hear. Father, we pray and wait on you to wash us with your word, because your word is what we need. We pray for your people that are in their homes, and pray for people that may be listening via phone in their travel. We pray their safety, and we ask you to keep us. Lord, we just thank you for this outlet. We thank you for resources. We thank you for means to get your word out. Again, your word is not bound. We pray the power of your word, that it will confront us, to change us, to convert us from our ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, great day. We thank God for the privilege of teaching his word. We are continuing our series of study, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 this evening. And again, our focus is righteous living. Righteous living. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Reiterating this because I think this is the gist of the purpose of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He wants us to be prepared to enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice chapter 5 begins with attitude and it proceeds on to action. But mainly in chapter 5, we dealt with outward actions, how people perceive us. But now in chapter 6, he deals with inner motive. Matthew chapter 6, inner motive. In chapter 6, Jesus contrasts his expectation of his disciples with the self-righteous practices of the scribes and Pharisees. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." So the focus of Matthew chapter 6 is to reveal the wrong and right way to worship God. I think I need to say that again. It's to reveal the wrong and right way to worship God. Jesus deals with the three vital aspects of worshiping God. He deals with giving. He deals with praying. He deals with fasting. Now, we are warned to watch our motive. Watch our motive. Our motive determines if our worship is righteous or unrighteous. The very things that we do to worship God can turn out to be nothing but hypocrisy if the motive behind what we do is not right. Right motives in giving, right motives in praying, and right motives in fasting is a must if we would worship God and if God would accept our worship. Hear me when I say this. You can't worship God with wrong, unrighteous, self-gratifying motives. Let me say that again. You can't worship God with wrong, unrighteous, self-gratifying motives. Last week our focus was on giving genuinely. Giving genuinely. We learned from verses 1 through 4 how not to give, and how to give. This week, we will look at and focus on how not to pray and how to pray. Let me say this before we jump right into the study. Prayer is essential for Christian living because it puts us as believers in tune with God and in touch with God. In other words, through prayer, we can communicate with God and focus on God. That should be the purpose, our motive. That should be the reason for which we pray. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Jesus doesn't give us a pattern for prayer. The pattern for prayer is in verses 9 through 13. But here he warns of prayers prompt by the spirit of ostentation. Let me say that again. He warns of the spirit of prayers, prompt by the spirit of ostentation. Let me warn us, we must watch the spirit of showiness and flamboyance when we pray. Now, tonight we'll deal with praying sincerely from verses 5 through 8. Jesus said, "Do not pray as the hypocrites pray." The word hypocrite is from the Greek word for stage actor, one who pretends to be something he or she is not. The hypocrite acts a part before men. He assumes a character which is not really his. So notice Jesus does not identify the hypocrites or who the hypocrites are in these particular verses, but we know from the context who he's talking about. He's talking about the scribes and Pharisees, the religious teachers, the religious leaders. We also know that he's addressing the scribes and Pharisees from Matthew chapter 23 as he gives the woe and the woe and the woe of Matthew 23 to warn us not to be as the scribes and hypocrites. The religious leaders, the hypocrites, love standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. To be seen by men is the wrong motive. Prayer should be addressed to our Heavenly Father who is unseen. So we don't pray to be seen of men. We pray to be seen of an unseen God. God who we can't see sees us. He hears us. So prayer should be offered to put us in communion with God, to connect us to God, so we can conversate with God. Let me tell you what Jesus is not saying before I tell you what he is saying. He is not saying public prayer is wrong. No, he's not saying that, because Jesus is not forbidding public prayer. Public prayer is vitally important for the public worship experience. Whenever we come together as a people of God, we should pray. We need to pray. We need to make prayer a part of the service. Public prayer is done in hospitals, at weddings, at funerals, family gatherings, etc. Jesus himself often prayed in the presence of his disciples as well as in front of large crowds. Several examples are given in the word. Number one, in John chapter 6, verse 11, you remember when Jesus had the men to sit down on the hillside after he had taught them, they were hungry. And they were hungry to the point of fainting. And Jesus took two fish, five loaves of bread, and he prayed. He prayed and he fed the 5,000. John 6:11 says, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. He prayed before he parted the fish and bread. That was a public prayer. All that were sitting on the hillside heard him give thanks unto God. His motive was not to impress the people on the hillside. His motive was to connect with God, to communicate with God, because he wanted to perform a miracle to meet the needs of the people that had followed him and had heard him teach the word of God. Not only did Jesus pray then publicly, but he prayed publicly when he raised Lazarus from the dead. In John chapter 11, after much discussion with the sisters of Lazarus, we discover that Jesus is taken to the grave of Lazarus, and then he commands them to remove the stone. And in John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, he says, so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. So Jesus offered up public prayer in the presence of the people so that they would know that he had a relationship with his Father in heaven. My brothers and sisters, if we would receive miracles and see miracles, there is a necessity for prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is a part of our public coming together. So the Bible on occasions reveals incidents of public prayer. So Jesus is not condemning public prayer. He is condemning public prayer performance. Let me say that again. He is condemning public prayer performance, or praying for public performance. Praying to be seen. Praying to be heard of men. Now, the problem with the scribes and Pharisees was their motive for praying. They prayed to be seen of men. Don't miss that. They prayed to be seen of men, not to communicate with God. They had an innate love of display, which made them choose public places that they may be seen of men. Let me say this. I think it is very important for us to understand that we need a private prayer life before we pray publicly. We need a private prayer life before we pray publicly. They sought public places to pray because they wanted to be seen of men. That's the wrong motive. Because God never wants us to pray to impress. Pray for the purpose of impressing people. The only reward you will receive if your purpose of praying is to impress people is for people to notice you, to compliment you, to pat you on the back. In other words, God will not reward prayers that are not directed and focused on communicating with him. I don't pray for pats on the back. and for people to say to me, I really enjoyed your prayer. I don't pray for the purpose of trying to reveal to people how spiritual I am, or how connected to God I am. I'm not praying to impress people. I'm praying because I understand from whom my blessings come. I pray because I'm commanded to pray. The word says we should always pray and not faint. I want to encourage you to pray, knowing that God hears you. God hears you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say, and this is the confidence. This is the boldness. This is the assurance that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. So we pray. Pray unto God. Our prayers are addressed to God, not addressed to men, but our prayers are addressed to God. And God hears our prayers when our prayers are addressed to God. When you put heaven's address on your prayer envelope, your prayers go to heaven. And God in heaven hears you. And He rewards you when you pray with God as the purpose, the person of your prayers. You want God to hear you. Oh, He not only tells us how not to pray, but He tells us how to pray. He says, if we are going to pray, we need to eliminate hypocrisy in our prayers or in our praying. Jesus says, but thou, when thou pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. Matthew 6:6. Now, the important thing is not location, but motive. Shutting the door means to shut out everything so you can concentrate exclusively on God. God wants your undivided attention. He says, shut the door. Rid yourself of all of the distractions. So you can concentrate exclusively on God. Listen, you want to concentrate before you speak. Concentrate before you speak. You need to think about what you're going to say to God. You don't want to just open your mouth and just start talking, because we're warned of vain repetition. You don't. You want to make sure that your words are meaningful and your words are in line with God's will. Jesus said, say not or use not a whole lot of vain repetition like the Gentiles, wanting to be heard for their many words. So the prayers you pray are not blessed, predicated upon how many words you use. Your prayers are blessed, predicated upon the sincerity of your prayers. You can pray a short prayer, Lord, have mercy. You remember the prayers of the old saints. Lord, have mercy. They didn't say a whole lot of words. Lord, have mercy. But it took to meaning because they prayed it from the heart. Sincere prayers. You don't want to just say a whole lot of nothing thinking that you are heard of God. Notice the word vain repetition. To babble. To speak without distinct expression of the purpose of praying. So notice you need purpose in praying. Purpose in praying. When you pray, you need to bow in purpose. So you have to concentrate. You have to settle yourself, concentrate before you start communicating, before you start talking, before you start uttering words, because you don't want to make long, repetitious prayers as the Pharisees did. They thought they were very religious because they used a whole lot of words. And they were impressive in their usage of words. Jesus, he is not condemning long prayers. Again, let me say this. He's not condemning long prayers. Instead, he is condemning long, vain prayers. In other words, when you are praying outside of his will, when you haven't taken the time to read the Word of God, to know His will, to get in line with His will, when you just say a whole lot of anything and everything in your prayers, when you're just speaking a lot of words to be heard, when you're trying to impress people in the worship place, again, that's the wrong motive. Normally when people come up to me and say, well, I really enjoyed your prayer, I say, well, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to God. Let me say that again. When people say, I really enjoyed your prayer, I wasn't talking for you to enjoy the prayer. I was talking to God to bless your life and to bless my life and to safeguard us as a people of God. You have to have purpose. You can pray amiss. You can miss the mark when you pray. James chapter 4 verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Notice wrong motives, wrong motives, wrong motives. How often we hear this in the Word of God. Wrong motives, wrong motives, wrong motives. We pray with wrong motives and we are not heard of God. We do not receive from God because God does not bless wrong motives. We pray amiss when our ends and aims are not right in prayer. Let me say that again. We pray amiss when our ends and aims are not right in prayer. Jesus goes on before, and now share this in our end. He says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before ye ask him. I like this because it reveals the omniscience of God. God knows all things. He knows our conditions. He knows our needs. God knows our wants. He knows our whereabouts. He knows the conditions of our lives. He knows what we need before we pray. And so when we pray asking God in faith to meet our needs. Isn't that wonderful to know that God knows? He does not need to be informed about our needs. So you don't have to be telling him about all that you're going through. God knows exactly what you are going through. He knows before we ask. Well, the question is, why pray? Why pray? Why should we pray? Well, here's the answer in closing. We pray because we are commanded to. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Again, the Word of God says in Luke 18, one man ought always to pray. We are commanded to pray. God wants to commune with you through prayer. He wants to communicate with you through prayer. And we pray out of simple obedience unto God. And as we obey God, we receive the blessings of God. That's wonderful. I want to encourage you again in this season to keep your prayer stations open. Pray to God. Pray sincerely. Pray giving your heart to God. And watch God do amazing and abounding things in your life. Watch him pour out over your life so that all the world can see that he is God in heaven and you are his son and daughter. God will bless you if you pray according to his word. He tells us to pray sincerely. Again, I encourage you to do that. Keep your prayer stations open. Pray for your church. Pray for your community. Pray for your family. Pray for your own life. Pray that God will use you mightily to make a difference in this dark and dead world. Watch God do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Thank you again for viewing this short Bible study, online Bible study. We pray that it was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me as I studied. It gives me the right perspective as I pray. That I pray to be seen and heard of God and not seen and heard of man. Every head bowed again, every I close. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the joy of the journey. We thank you for allowing us to come to share this precious moment of Bible study. Lord, your word has reached our hearts and has made a change and a difference in us. We yield to you. We yield to your word. We yield to your way. We yield to your will. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us that there is desired depthness in our praying, that you want us to pray from our hearts. You want us to pray with the right motives and right intentions. Lord, we love you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for keeping us in such a time such as this. Times, Lord, that we are forced to change what we do and how we do it. But Lord, you are God and you remain the same. We thank you for your omnipotence, your omniscience, and your omnipresence. You are with us. You are with all of us at the same time. We rest in you. We commit our ways unto you. We trust you. We believe you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.